purple dusk of twilight time
steals across the meadows of my heart.
It used to be that singers had to tackle the Great American Songbook if they wanted to prove they had the chops.
Always reminding me that we're far apart.
Singers defined themselves by how they interpreted those songs, how they delivered a lyric, the range, the pacing, the inflection, the restraint.
That will not die.
Love is now the stardust of yesterday.
Now, around 300 of the greatest singers of the recorded era are profiled in a mammoth new book.
One by.
Will Friedwald is the author of A Biographical Guide to the Great Jazz and Pop Singers, and he joins me from our New York bureau. Mr. Friedwald, welcome.
Hey, thank you for making me one of the things you're considering.
Well, I have to ask, in the era of YouTube and Wikipedia, why do we need this book?
Well, that was, in the beginning, the idea was to do a straight encyclopedia where I just gave birth dates and Peggy Lee sang with Benny Goodman, important career highlights, and maybe mention an album or two. And as we kept writing it, when I say we, I mean my editor Bob and I, it just started growing, and we realized that it made more sense, especially with, you know, the rise of Wikipedia and all the other resources on the internet. Now you really can just go on the internet and find when Peggy Lee was born within, you know, less time than it takes to even ask the question. You can get the answer. So you don't really need a book for that. But there's no reference out there where you can just take and read, you know, the whole highlights of the life of Peggy Lee that tell you why Peggy Lee is special, why is she different, and very importantly, what are the important Peggy Lee records at every stage in her career.
And the book covers all the greats, of course. You've got Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and Ella Fitzgerald, and it goes on and on. But one of the things I really loved about the book is that it talks about some of the singers who didn't end up a household name. We've got a lot of great music here from your library, so I want to get into some of it. And we're going to start with a track from Jerry Southern.
You better go now, because I like you much too much. You have a way with you. You ought to know now just why I like you very much. The night was gay with you.
Oh, what a voice. Tell me, what's her story?
Well, Jerry Southern, Genevieve Herring, was a pianist and a piano teacher. And it's a story that you do hear occasionally, was that in order just to get more work and to support themselves, they started singing. Supposedly that's what happened with Nat King Cole, and that's what happened with Nina Simone later on. And, you know, they didn't start their careers intending to be singers, but yet at a certain point they found themselves singing, and then they found themselves, you know, being acclaimed as singers. Jerry Southern, as you can hear, just this wonderful, very minimal sound, just a sweet voice, and never singing more than is necessary, always giving you exactly what a song needs, nothing more, nothing less, and just delivering just the right amount of voice, the right amount of emotion, the right amount of shading.
You better go, because I like you much too much.
And interestingly, you write that Jerry Southern, I mean, it sort of walked away from her career.
Yeah, she gave it up. I guess she just got tired of the music business. And because she had not intended to be a singer to begin with, she just got tired of the whole thing and walked away from it, probably near the peak of her career, and lived happily for another 30 years or so.
I'm speaking with Will Friedwald, the author of A Biographical Guide to the Great Jazz and Pop Singers. Well, let's move on to a voice that might be familiar to some of Generation X out there.
Sure.
And we're going to start by hearing...
It must be way beyond Generation X.
Well, let's start by hearing some of this person's television work from the 1970s.
We barely had arrived. Friends asked us to describe the people, places, and every last thing. So we unpacked our adjectives.
The singer is Blossom Dearie from the animated educational series Schoolhouse Rock, and she actually had a long career as a pop singer before that project came along, which I learned about from the book, and she had such an odd voice. Tell me about her.
Well, she had a quirky voice, and you certainly would hear her once and never forget it, because it does sound like a little girl or a little baby or some kind of a, you know, a little child. But she had been a jazz singer and a popular singer-pianist for a long time to come before that. And she was somebody who really comfortably and happily spent her whole career being known just to the intelligentsia. And yet, after doing it for so many years, I mean, so many people listened to her and so many people were influenced by her. Up until today, you still go into a club in New York and you hear a song and it's Sorry with a Fringe on Top or I'm Hip. Chances are there's a great likelihood that somebody learned that song from Blossom Dearie.
I'm digging, I'm stepping. When it was hip to be hip, I was hip. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding. I even call my girlfriend man, I'm so hip.
Music from Blossom Dearie, her recording of I'm Hip. Let's talk about Bill Henderson. He's still singing today, and you know, let's just start by playing a bit of one of his better-known recordings. It's from 1960, and it's called Sweet Pumpkin.
I've got a feeling that I'm just your style. Come on, admit it, and we'll walk the aisle. Don't be shy, just throw your arms around me, and you'll get plenty loving, just you wait and see.
That voice, his fans online call him the last great jazz singer. Tell me, Will, what is it about Bill Henderson that had you put him in this book?
You can hear that the timing is perfect and the phrasing is right there, and the way he puts the song over is just, you know, beautiful, the way he considers every line and sings around the melody when he's not, you know, distinctly singing the melody. And it's amazing that that's 1960, that's 50 years ago. He certainly had chops at that point, but it's not about the chops. It's about that distinctiveness of tone. And he actually sounds like a very old guy, you know, even then, you know, he's barely in his, I think, in his mid-30s at that point. And it is pleasing to note that he's still out there doing it, that he just released an album. And he was at least 80 at that point, and he did a brand new record, which is, you know, so great to have, because his discography is not enormous. So every time there is a new album, and there aren't many, it's kind of a big deal.
There are a lot of young singers out there today, actually, who have still carved a place for themselves performing standards. And you mention a few of them in the book in a special section of essays. And you call these guys retro crooners and boy chicks. Who falls into this category and why?
It occurred to me that after all these years that Harry Connick deserved some attention from me, just because he has been going at it. He's released something like 25 records, and certainly he deserved attention. At the beginning of his career, I was not a big fan because they were trying to push him as the new Sinatra, which always is, you know, I don't think that's going to win as many fans as it's going to lose, because, you know, everybody that likes the old Sinatra is going to resent it. So it took me a long time to get over that. It finally occurred to me that there were some Harry Connick records I liked a lot and that he deserved an entry.
You also mentioned Michael Bublé, though.
That's right.
And, I mean, I ask this because at what point, you know, you don't want to accuse people of being museum pieces.
Exactly.
But do you see another generation of people who are actually moving the music forward?
Well, that was the idea, because I didn't want to give the impression if everybody in this book was 80 years old or deceased, then it would sound like Baroque chamber music or something that happened a long time ago. When the fact is, this repertory that we call the American Songbook is fluid enough to keep going, to find people that have new ways to do things. And there are a lot of wonderful people that are under, you know, under 40, under 30, maybe even under 20 out there that are going to keep this music alive.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time.
Will Friedwald is the author of A Biographical Guide to the Great Jazz and Pop Singers. Will, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been a delight.
High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. Wandered down the lane and far away. song.
Today's program is directed by Petra Mayer. The staff includes Phil Harrell, Kenya Young, Brent Bachman, Lily Percy, Lauren Silverman, Hanzi Wang, and our intern, Will O'Connor. The technical director is Daniel Shukin, assisted by Renee Pringle, Peter Elena, and Cal Southworth. Melissa Goh is the weekend web producer. Our reference librarian is Key Maleski. Rick Holter is the senior editor, and our senior producer is Matt Martinez. For Sunday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish. Remember, you can hear the best of this program on our new podcast, Weekends on All Things Considered. Subscribe or listen at npr.org/weekendatc. Guy Raz will be back in this chair next weekend. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great week.